So we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1 tonight, and I'm glad that you guys chose the better place. I'm sure every one of you could have been home taking a nap or going out to dinner or whatever you may do. You probably could have found something else, but you chose the better thing, and I praise God for that. So we're going to address this question. Are you spiritually asleep? Are you spiritually asleep? And before we get into the Word, think about all the great things God has done for you. How many great things has God done for you? How does it stack up? Is it a lot? Is it small? What do you think? What has God done for you? See, God wants us to wake up to the great responsibility of His riches. Let's look at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in His divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, I make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. See, all these qualities that Peter lists here, each one of those things can grow in you. Takes work, but each one of those things can grow in you, make you better, make you a better Christian. Each one of those produce fruit. By having those things, you're more able to produce fruit, to bear fruit. And since much is given to us, since God has given us much, we are responsible in living godly lives and fruitful lives. We're responsible to bear fruit. God wants us to bear fruit. He doesn't just want us to bear fruit. He commands us to bear fruit. We are made to bear fruit. Verse 8 here says, and this is why verse 8, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." See, Peter wants us to wake up to the great responsibility that we have. See, in verse 12 and 13, he says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." See, Peter wants us to remember we have a great responsibility to God's riches. Just think of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Think about the things He has given us. He has given us, if you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. Not just eternal life, but you have power. You have power through the Holy Spirit. You have a power that is indescribable that lives inside you. But the great thing is, we even have more. We have meaning and we have purpose on this earth. For the short time that we get, we have meaning and we have purpose. Purpose to bear fruit that we are responsible for. Luke 12, which I'll turn there really fast. Luke 12, verse 48 says, "But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." We have been entrusted with very great things. We've been entrusted to go out and share those great things. We are entrusted to do what God has called us to do. We've been entrusted with much, so much will be asked of us. And remember that. See, Peter also wants us to wake up to the treasure of our time. Our time that we have on earth is a treasure. It is, and we should treat it like a treasure. Verse 12 through 14 again. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. What he's describing here is the moment he has with Jesus on the beach, where Jesus comes up and he asks three times, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter says, "Yes, I love you." He does that three times. And he ends up going and telling Peter his fate. What is going to happen to you, Peter? In John chapter 21, verse 18. "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." See, Jesus there describes that Peter is going to die. He is going to be stretched out, and he's going to die. And by this time this letter is written, Peter knows it's coming. Peter knows that it is coming, and it's close. So he goes and he's telling the people of things that they already know, but he wants to remind them of these things. James chapter 4, verse 14 says this: "Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Whether you live to 105, our time is still little. There's so much that we can do for God that you can live so long and not be able to accomplish everything that needs to be done. There's always work that needs to be done. Our time on this world is so precious. So precious and so short. So I'll ask you this question: what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your time? Are you wasting your time? Are you putting your time to good use? Are you doing something with your time? What are you doing with your time? Hopefully you're not wasting it. Hopefully you're doing what God has called you to do. Because He wants us to wake up to the treasure of our time. He also wants us to wake up to the legacy that we can leave. In verse 15 of Peter, he says, "And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." Peter wanted a long-lasting legacy. A legacy that people couldn't boast on Peter for what Peter did, but that they could boast knowing that Jesus Christ was Peter's Lord. Wanted to know that when you thought of Peter, that guess who else you thought of? Jesus Christ. Remember that what kind of legacy are you going to leave? What's that legacy? People are going to remember it. Are they going to think of you and think Jesus Christ? Are they going to think those things that they should think of when we're long and gone and years have passed? I heard this story of a grandfather in the Ukraine. He goes over there and they go to church, and the granddaughter, the teachers would not allow their kids to go in the church. They wouldn't allow it. They would stand outside the churches and they wouldn't allow the kids. So the grandmother of all this wanted the child to get inside the church, so they dress her up as an old lady. They dress her up as an old lady, and the teacher recognizes who it is. And they end up searching the backpack, and they find a Bible. And they burn the Bible. So the grandfather goes after days and days, and he memorizes scriptures. He memorizes scriptures, and he takes them home with him so that he can tell his grandchildren. He even makes them into poems and songs so they're easily remembered for the kids. That grandfather had a long-lasting legacy. Not to remember who the grandfather was, but to remember who Jesus Christ was through him. We should be able to leave a legacy for Christ that lasts forever. We should be able to leave a legacy for Christ that lasts forever. We have a legacy that we can leave. We have a good legacy we can leave. What will your legacy look like? He also wants to wake us up to the glory of God. Verse 15 through 18. And I will make every effort to see after my departure you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we are eyewitnesses of the majesty he received, honor and glory from God the Father. With a voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. He's talking about the transfiguration. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 17. We'll just see a glimpse of God's majestic glory. Verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, John, the brother of James, and led them up the high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. The voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Do not be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Look, picture this scene right now. They look up and they see Jesus, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes were as bright as the light. And then he sees two prophets that are there. And not only that, you hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son, whom I am well pleased." What an amazing picture of God's glory. Just if we just go outside right now and we look up into the sky and see all God has created, we see what God has created for us. How amazing do we have a God that can make such beautiful things? A God of beauty. A God that is infinitely perfect, infinitely majestic, and infinitely great. We get to serve that God. How are you serving that God? Are you wasting your time? Are you not doing what you're called to do? Not fulfilling your responsibilities to what He has given you? What are you doing? Are you taking for granted the time that you get to spend here? The life that you live, are you taking it for granted? Are you trying to get your best life now? Trying to get all the money? Trying to figure out the best happy life? But in all reality, we have extreme joy because we serve a great, awesome, majestic God. What are we doing? Are we going out fulfilling what God has called us to do? Are we making disciples of all nations? Are we going down the street to our neighbor saying, "Hey, I got some good news for you. Jesus Christ loves you." Are we doing that? Are we going to our coworkers and shouting with joy the joy that we have? Close your eyes for just a minute. And ask God to show you your heart. David says, "Search my heart," like we read this morning. "Search my heart, O Lord." Ask Him to search it. See if there's any wickedness in it. Have Him show it to you and remove it. Ask God to take it away so that you can show your joy to everyone, no matter who they are. No matter where they come from, what they've done, that you can show them the great, glorious God we serve. God wants us to wake up, church. It is time to open up our eyes and realize that we all need to grow up. We all can learn every day. We can talk to God every day. Like Dan said this morning, we have a God that sees us right where we are. We have a God that sees us in our pain and in our joy. We have a God that cares about us, that even though we are sinners, He died for you. He was put on a cross and He was crucified for you. If that doesn't bring a smile to your face knowing that a God loves you and cares about you, I don't know what will. I don't know what will bring joy to you, because I can't help but express great joy knowing that I have a God that cares enough for me to die for me. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual morality and debauchery, not in dissension or in jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Church, it is time to stop playing games with God. If we have a God that sees us right where we're at, it's funny, I asked this question. We read Psalms 139 in the class in Jonah. And you asked this question at the end, saying, do these verses make you feel comforted, or do they make you feel intimidated? And normally you get two responses, and it normally depends on how a person is living. If someone is living according to God's will and doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're going to find those words comforting. They're going to think, oh, I have a God that sees me where I'm at, knows where I'm going through. But if you're living in sin, they're going to think those verses are intimidating, because guess what? We can't hide. We can't go all the way to the mountains, because guess who's there? God. We can't go all the way to the bottom of the sea, because guess who's there? God. Which made Jonah's running awfully foolish to run to the sea, because God made the sea. So think about that. Think about, am I playing games with God? Am I playing games with God? God wants us to wake up. And He doesn't want us to wake up tomorrow. He doesn't want us to wake up a week from now, next Sunday. God wants us to wake up right now. He wants us to realize where we need to be. We have to realize where we need to be according to what God wants us to do. And you're only going to find that out by asking Him. Asking God and applying God's Word. So as we stand and we do an invitation, you can play a song, Alex. Ask this question to yourself. Am I spiritually asleep?